my name is Ida Narbaval. I'm 24 years old and I come from Norway, and I am a Division II collegiate runner at the University of Miri. And I run because I absolutely love it.
Everyone, thank you for joining into the Triple Knot podcast, a podcast for female collegiate runners to share their stories. I'm here today with Ida Narbaval. Ida's calling in today from North Dakota. She is finishing up her engineering degree at the University of Mary, and she was explaining to me somewhat complicated educational setup that she has going on. She's also working on her master's too, but we can talk more about that later. Ida is originally from Norway, and some of her performances in both running and Nordic skiing, from what I was looking up, make her one of Norway's top athletes in both of those sports. In college, she was an NCAA D2 All-American every year that she ran cross country, and has an impressive story of taking almost 2 years off of running due to injury before coming back. And this past year, she was fourth at the cross-country national championships and then had qualified for the indoor nationals in the mile, 3K, 5K, and DMR. But unfortunately, that was where her collegiate running career was cut short due to COVID-19. She was also a finalist for the Women's Track Runner of the Year for Division II. And she's here with us today. So thank you so much, Ida, for joining. And can we start off by you giving us like a little picture of what's currently going on in your life, where you are and what you're working on?
Yes. So with COVID-19 happening and, you know, everything kind of changing, my plans kind of changed, my situation like right now changed from what I thought it would be like 2 months ago. So right now I am finishing up my civil engineering degree through the University of Miri. And I've also taken some classes through the University of North Dakota for some accreditation reasons. 2 weeks ago, I started my master's degree as well in project management through the University of Mary. And the reason for that was that I can come back next year and get my eligibility back that I lost this spring. So that's really a little bit of the plan and like what I'm doing right now. And yeah, I'm living in Bismarck, in North Dakota, where the University of Mary is located. I'm living in this small apartment with my husband and my Brittany Spaniel puppy. So yeah, very happy with that situation.
That's great. That's good that you get to be with some support while you're here working through your classes. And it sounds like you're going to have some really great opportunities for yourself in the coming years, whether that the educational career with multiple degrees. And also that's awesome that you get to finish out that eligibility, especially being a fifth year. So how did you get your start as a runner? Tell us what your backstory is.
So I started out as a cross-country skier. I'm from the mountains in Norway. And you know, if you're Norwegian, you know how to ski. And I've been skiing my whole life, probably been skiing since I could walk. That was my thing as a kid. I loved skiing and I did it like anytime I could. I would go, you know, racing in the weekends and came back and, you know, in the afternoon, not really knowing what to do the rest of the day. So I went out and skied again. So that was how I started. That was like my dream as a kid to be like an elite cross-country skier. And then as I got a little older and I started training more, I started also running more just because, you know, we don't have snow the entire summer. And so I had to find ways of staying in shape, and I started running. And I also entered some races and realized that, you know, I'm better at running than I am in skiing. So then running just basically took over. Also, my passion grew for it. I just thought that, you know, this is actually more fun than skiing too. And yeah, that's just what happened, is kind of a smooth transition from skiing to running.
Skiing is such a great sport for runners. I am from New Hampshire, so we do get pretty solid winters up here, and I grew up Nordic skiing a little bit, and I didn't do it for a while, but I tried again a year or two ago, and I forgot how hard it is.
It is. It's awesome. It's really awesome.
So I don't really know much about Norway, except there's a singer-songwriter, Aurora. I don't know if you've heard of her, but I'm obsessed with her music. But that's like the only window into Norway that I have. Can you tell us what the distance running scene is like in Norway and what opportunities there are there for runners?
So I'd say like in general, Norway is huge into cross-country skiing, and that's like been our national sports basically for forever. And naturally, it draws a lot of the endurance athletes to that sport. But that being said, lots of the skiers are also good runners just because the training is similar. And so I do think that we don't have great numbers necessarily for runners. But we do have lots of cross-country skiers who could have been runners and that also run during the summer. And then, especially recently, I do think that we've had some more attention to running. And I do think we'll see an increase in people running and running fast due to some of our current runners. Like, if you've heard of the Ingebrigtsen brothers and Jakob, that's the youngest brother. Just drawing attention to the sport. So we have some really good runners, but I do think that we'll definitely see more of the elite level runners. I really hope so, for sure. It's obviously a very different situation in the US also, because Norway is a small country. You have like 5 million people. That's just a state in the US that naturally it's gonna be just a different scenery. In the US, and it's based around club sports, which is obviously very different from the US system with the NCAA and college sports. So it's two different systems, and I've been fortunate to be able to run in both. And I mean, I really like both systems, and I think it's just like the same but different.
Mm-hmm. Neat. That sounds really awesome to be surrounded by that culture of skiing in Norway, and also to see that your country does have a lot of potential in running, and maybe, yeah, we'll see where they grow. And you might be a part of that growth too. I don't know. We can talk about what your future plans are later, but when did you start realizing your potential as a runner and start considering coming to the US to study and compete?
So I was pretty serious with running. My freshman and sophomore year of high school was when it like really started and took off a little bit with my plans in the future for running. And then I had some coaches in the US contact me my sophomore year of high school, asking if I wanted to come and run for their schools when I graduated high school. At that point, I still had 2 more years left, and I didn't really think that that was something I wanted to do, that I wanted to be that far away from my family. But then my senior year, around Christmas, I got a message on Facebook from a coach in Pennsylvania telling me about his school and that he would like if I wanted to consider coming there and running for him. And I don't know really what was with that message and with the school when I started looking into it that made me just think that, you know, I think maybe I want to do that. So I can't really pinpoint what it was, but I started that process, and one thing led to another, and half a year later about I was in the US. So it definitely was a quick turnaround, something I thought I would never really do, but I knew that this would be a once in a lifetime opportunity. It's not like 10 years later down the road, I could go just move to a different country and do something like that. I knew that this is something I can do right now. And if I don't do it, I can't do it later. And if I like it, I can keep doing it. And if I don't like it, I can go home after one semester. And that was kind of my thought behind it. And probably one of the main reasons I had the guts to do it was that I knew that if I don't like it, I can just go home. And so I went with the intention of just staying for 1 year. That was my plan. And I told my coach that, you know, I'm coming here to stay for 1 year, and then I'm going home to Norway. Here I am 5 years later. That didn't happen, but yeah, that was how it started.
At that point in your life, had other people, friends or family ever come to the U.S. to study before, or did it seem like something that was totally different?
One of my best friends from Norway, she studied in Hawaii for 1 year. Wow. And this was right before I left. So I guess she was probably the only one that was close to me that I knew of. I knew of some other runners that had done the same thing and even been to schools that are close to the University of Mary. But in a sense, it was pretty unfamiliar. I think I can say that I did not know what I was like getting myself into. I really didn't know. And but at the same time, when I made that move and, you know, bought that plane ticket, I knew that I didn't know. And therefore, I also didn't really set any expectations, or I didn't have a specific thought in mind that, like, this is exactly how it's going to be. And I think that was a very good thing, because then everything was kind of a positive surprise when it happened, and the whole aspect of it was positive.
So what was that first year of college like for you? So you went to the University of Edinburgh in Pennsylvania. How did you make that transition in running and your life in the U.S.?
It was definitely at times hard, I'd say. It probably got just easier and easier and easier. A big part of that was the language. When I came to the U.S., I definitely wasn't comfortable speaking English. I felt like I can write English, but I can't really talk and make myself understood. So that was definitely tough to try to, your brain was kind of working double the whole time, translating everything, both what other people were saying, planning, like, what am I going to respond with here? And that was mentally exhausting at first, I think. So that was a major part of it. And I think, like, the difference with just, now I have to think in a different language. That was a big part. And then obviously just the system is different with school, how you live on campus and you eat on campus and you train with your team every day. Like, I came from a small club out in the districts in Norway, and I ran by myself like every single day of the year. And so that was a big like difference for me, that I now actually have teammates, which I obviously is a very good change. But still different, since I'm used to setting the pace by myself for every run. It's still something that was different. Generally, I would say it was, although challenging, my life became more convenient in a sense by having everything gathered like that. And I thought that was a good fit. And also one of the reasons why I liked it a lot and wanted to keep doing it was that I did think that it worked for me.
Came in with no limits, no expectations. When did you start seeing your success at the collegiate level increase and take off?
Well, it was the cross-country season my freshman year. And I really didn't know much about what college level running was. You know, I didn't really know how good other people were and how I would do. I really had no idea. But then I went and won the conference championships in cross country. And that, I think, was the starting point of realizing that I can be decent in Division II. And then I also went on and won the regional meet. And then I learned that, I guess it's not that often that a freshman wins both the conference and the regional meet. And I came to nationals. I honestly had a terrible race at nationals. I think I was allergic to something in the air. Like, honestly, because I just couldn't breathe that whole race. But I was still All-American. At that point, again, I didn't know what it meant to be All-American. I didn't know how big that was, you know? So at the time, I didn't really, I guess, think about that. That was probably what other people could have said, that, like, that's a starting point, you're All-American as a freshman. For me, it was like a disappointing race. But now I look back and realize that, you know, it was okay. And then going on to qualifying for nationals, both indoors and outdoors, that same year, where I then got to experience 3 national meets as a freshman. And then when I decided to transfer schools, also with the way that, you know what, coaches were talking to me, wanting me to transfer, I realized that I have some potential here because people want me to be on their team.
So you made it through this first year of college, didn't end up leaving. What point did you decide that you were going to transfer, and what was that process of then transitioning to the University of Mary?
So I made the decision to transfer around Christmas my freshman year. And my coach at the time at my first school was not going to continue being the coach at that school. So that was point one, that just coaching situation was uncertain for the next year. And then I wanted to study engineering, and that my old school didn't offer engineering. And so I knew that, you know, if I'm going to continue this journey in the US, I'm going to have to switch my home. I'm going to have to transfer. And then I had some help from other people then in figuring out where to go and how to approach this. And I actually ended up transferring together with one of my teammates from Edinburgh. So that made for sure the transferring process a lot easier. And for me too, I felt like transferring schools was much easier than it was to move across the world, you know, right after high school. That in comparison, it was still felt doable, and it felt like something that wasn't extremely difficult. At the same time, it's still now on your second year and you're still the new person and the person who has to adjust and adapt and figure everything out again. So definitely, it's easier not to transfer, for sure. It's still a challenging process, for sure, but definitely being able to transfer with someone who's now my best friend absolutely made that whole situation a lot easier.
So your sophomore year of college, first year at UMary, you placed 12th at the NCAA Cross Country Championship that year, but then you ended up being injured for a really long time after that. So can you take us through that season for you and then what the start of your injury was?
Yeah, so I came to UMary, and on the team at that point was a national champion, which, you know, that's a pretty neat situation you're in. You come here to a new team and you get to train with the national champion. And I mean, one thing is that you have that person to look up to, and you have that standard of what it takes to be a national champion. But then also, you know that, you know, the coach knows what he's doing here. The system is working. And so coming in, just having that confidence in the program, and then realizing it also works for me, was just a lot of fun. And I had just so much fun that fall season. UMary, we won our first cross-country conference title as a team that year, and everything was clicking, really. Felt at home with the team, and it was just working really well. Did really good at nationals that year as a sophomore. Placing 12th was okay. It was an improvement from the previous season. And then once nationals was over, I started noticing that my heel was hurting, which, thinking back, probably this was, I should probably have noticed that pain earlier, but I think I was just, you know, going strong throughout the cross country season and not really paying attention to it. And so I didn't notice it. And then in December, it started hurting. And then we later realized right over Christmas what it actually was about, and that this was a little more serious than just a little slight pain in the heel.
Had you ever been injured before at that point?
I had. I had a stress fracture in high school. I had multiple inflammations in my feet that we thought were stress fractures, but they weren't actually. But some of them, I just had to treat them as if they were. And I did have a surgery in my right heel, actually, as a junior in high school.
So you had some experience with the whole injury situation. Obviously, it doesn't make injury any easier or more obvious as to what you should do to deal with. But so you said during the break, you realized that your Achilles problem was serious. At what point did you resume training again, or what did that whole recovery process look like for you?
So after I came back from Christmas break, my sophomore year, I went to the doctor, at least eventually, a little too stubborn. So I didn't do it soon enough. But I think it was in January. I went to the doctor, and then the doctor gave me two choices. He can perform a surgery on me and try to fix the problem, obviously knowing very well that it would be an extremely long recovery process. And then the second option was you got to quit running. So, I mean, it was not a fun decision to make, but it was a very easy decision to make. Obviously, I was going to have the surgery. And so from that point, it was just waiting to have the surgery, which I had that in May. And I couldn't run in that time period between because my Achilles was going to snap, so I couldn't really do that. And then I had the surgery. I was non-weight bearing for 3 months. And so at that point, you know, your muscles are gone. You know, this was in my right leg. And so my calf, especially then in my right leg, was gone. Like it was nothing left there. Literally no muscle from not being able to stand on it for 3 months. But then my left side got stronger. So it was like an extremely imbalance in my body at that point. And I ended up with Achilles tendonitis in my left leg, you know, from being on that leg too much, even if I didn't do anything active. It was just jumping around on that one leg. And so I guess step one was starting to walk again, you know, after this, actually those 3 months of non-weight bearing, and then walking a little more and more, biking a little bit. And then 9 months after I had stopped running, I took my first running steps again. And 9 months is kind of a long time. At that point, you're at zero. You know, you have to start from like literally zero again, which is tough when you've been at a certain level, I think, because you're in your mind, you're so much better than you actually is. In your mind, you're still running those same times as you used to, but your legs aren't even running at all. So then, this is in the fall in 2017. I start running a little bit again. I think my first run, I can't remember if it was 100 or 200 meters. Like a minute, you know, nothing. And then it was slowly trying to progress, build some mileage and some base again, thinking that I would be fine and being able to compete best case for indoor season and then worst case outdoor season. But it's still painful and I can't get rid of my limp. And then 1 year later, so 1 year after the surgery, I go back to the doctor again and ask, like, it's still hurting. Is it supposed to hurt? And he's like, no, it's not. At this point, you should be as good as you'll ever be. So I was a little worried at that point, asking, well, what do I do then? And he wanted to have a second surgery on me. But at that point, I knew that if I have a second surgery now, I probably won't be able to make a comeback because it will take too long. I'll be done in college by the time I can run again. And I'd even had a surgery in high school. So this would be my third surgery on the same heel in just a few years. And I decided I didn't want to do that. And so I left the doctor's office, not really knowing what I would do. But the only thing I knew was that I'm not going to have that surgery again. Went home to Norway that summer. I took a break from running again. And I just started jogging again. And, you know, just, I can't really remember how much I ran that summer. It wasn't a lot because I couldn't, because it was still hurting, but over the course of the summer I think I got rid of the inflammation that was causing lots of the pain. And then I returned in the fall of 2018 and I started racing again, which in June I did not think I would be able to race that fall, but I did and started racing, and somehow it worked. I have no like explanation of it really why it was fine at that point, but something happened the end of the summer where it just really made that switch from this is not going to happen until I'm doing it now. So it was really refreshing that at that point I was actually able to run and race again. And obviously I was still restricted by like I can't go and do the training I really want to do here, but I can do good training still. And, you know, I was able to come back that fall and be 12th at nationals again, same place that I had been 2 years prior. And that was almost like an absurd experience.
That's insane. I can't believe that. I mean, I guess that just confirms my theory that if you stay patient and persistent with things and you just truly believe in yourself and follow your passions, it's going to work out for you somehow.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you were injured, were you doing any sort of physical therapy, icing? Like, did you have any sort of regular care practices?
So at first I wasn't able to do anything since I was just in the boot. And then I did go to the athletic trainers at the University of Mary daily when I returned back to campus after that first summer. But since I had all those issues with the pain still there, it was still kind of a hard thing to figure out because to me it seemed like nothing helped. That I kept getting treatment, but nothing helps. And so I did try to, the main thing I did, I think, was that I tried to strengthen my leg again, because that was one of my big issues, was that my right leg was so weak compared to my left one. It was still like very, I thought it was surprisingly difficult to do that, but that was the main focus of the therapy part.
So while you were sitting out in 2017, you, Mary, placed second at the NCAA National Championship to Adams State. And Adams State is just, I think even people that aren't that familiar with D2 have probably heard of Adams State before because they're just a powerhouse.
Yes. So that's
a very impressive team finish. And I saw that that was the highest your team had ever finished at the National Championship.
Yes.
Was that fueling for you to see that success and to want to be back and be a part of it? Or was it hard for you to not be a part of it? Like, how did you manage that mental side of seeing your teammates training and succeeding but not really being able to physically be there?
Yeah, it was definitely it was both of the things. It was both very, very exciting to see that my team was doing well, and I was extremely happy for them. How well they were racing. At the same time, it absolutely was tough to sit there and watch it, knowing that I should be there. And like, it's always, when you're in that situation, it's a what if situation. Mm-hmm. What would happen if I could be there? And that thought has obviously was something I was thinking about a lot, because at that national meet, if I had been there and placed 12th like I had the year before, we would have won. Just point-wise. And that's like a thought that was tough to me, knowing that, you know, if I would have been there, I could have helped and we could have done it. Feeling like a little blame for also, although they did incredibly good things, I knew that like, and so it was definitely both, where of course you want your team to succeed no matter if you're physically there or not. But at the same time, extremely tough, I think, to see championships happening and you're not there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I could imagine that being incredibly frustrating, but also, yeah, so motivating as well. And that's also the point of a team. People, you know, you pick each other up, wins, or... You know, that's why seven people run in case something happens to someone. And there's always, if someone can fill that spot and still have them come in second, that's incredible. So this past year, you were fourth at Nationals. Can you take us through that race and, yeah, just what that whole race situation was like for you?
So this was in Sacramento, California, and completely flat course. Very fast course. I've always liked to take a race out hard because experience. I don't have much speed, but I have lots of endurance. Probably stems from cross country skiing. And so I was extremely ready to go at the start of the race. And I did go. And I think I was 2 seconds off my 800 PR going through the first 800. At that point, you have 5.2 kilometers to go. And that's tough when you were 2 seconds off your 800 PR. So I was on the struggle bus for that race, which was obviously completely my fault. But that's also how I like to race. And I don't regret racing that way because I've done that before and had lots of success with it. And there's part of me that really like doing that just for the sake of controlling it. And I had my parents there, actually. They flew in. That was the first college race they ever watched me race, which was also then my last cross-country race. So that was pretty special. I had my husband there. And it was, yeah, I'd say the toughest race for sure that I raced that season. After finishing, I was very happy with it. I mean, when you're fourth, you don't aim for a fourth place. You never do. If you're up there, fourth, you obviously are going to aim or three spots higher. But looking back, I mean, I'm extremely happy with it. And the three girls that beat me, they were better at that day. I can't argue that. That's just fair. Like, they were better and they deserved that first through third place for sure. And it was, I thought it was a very good finish to 4 years of cross country running. And it was my best place at a national meet ever. Also can't complain about that. It was really just lots of positives. It was a good experience for sure.
That's so awesome that your family got to share that with you too.
Yes.
So what type of mileage do you do and how has that changed over the years?
So I'm definitely a high mileage person, which I didn't realize until I came to the US that I was. I thought I was doing the normal stuff because also I used to do cross-country skiing. And if you know anything about cross-country skiing, it is that it's high volume stuff. And so when I started running a little more seriously, I kept that high volume. And one of the funny things from when I first came to UMary and we had the first team meeting and we were talking about training. And I had talked to the head coach the day prior about like my training in particular, what I had done that summer. And he asked me what my mileage was the week before we got to campus. And I told him. And so then he thought he should bring it up at the team meeting because we were talking about mileage. And he asked me there, Ira, what was your mileage last week? 100 miles. And everyone else just thought I was talking about kilometers, you know, because I'm European. I was like, oh, she probably has it wrong. She doesn't know. But I did hit 100 miles in high school for weekly mileage. It wasn't wow. Something I did every week, but that wasn't anything that felt crazy to me. I did 3-hour long runs on Sundays because that was what I was used to from cross-country skiing. And that's something I've liked to do. And that's I'm comfortable with doing the high volume stuff. And but then I got injured, obviously, and I couldn't continue that, at least for a while. So this year has really been the first year after the injury that I've been able to come back and do what I think of as decent mileage. So I guess fall and this winter I've been around 80 mile mark, probably. I hit another 100 mile week again last week. So it's definitely on that higher end of the mileage. But I do think that I'm probably a marathoner. I just haven't done the marathon yet. So that's probably where I'm heading, just because mileage.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what works for you, naturally, just where your body and mind tend towards, honestly, like there's nothing wrong with it. I think a lot of the thought around that high mileage here is that people feel like obligated to do it or something, or they're doing it. Maybe it's like over obsessive, but yeah, if you're just going out and loving every second of it and able to overcome those injuries still, then go for it.
And it's my mindset towards mileage is I never pick a set mileage I want to hit for the week. I know lots of people do this, that they'll have, okay, I'm going to run 50 miles or whatever it might be. I never do that. On Sunday, I know what my mileage will be for sure when I'm done with my run that day. So I think it's more about the work you put in rather than that number, because I feel like that number is pretty arbitrary. Mm-hmm. You know, convert it to kilometers and all of a sudden you don't have an even number anymore. I know those people that will on Sunday, you know, you I'm going to run 7.2 kilometers or miles because that's what's going to make me hit that 50 mile week I want to get to. But then think of it in case and all of a sudden you have some random number, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of my like thought of mileage. I like to do it. And that was the same thing when last week I was sitting there on Sunday. I was like, holy, I didn't realize I was going to run 100 miles this week, but I guess that happened.
So what have been some of your favorite memories as a college runner so far at UMary? Are there any special team traditions that you do or races, workouts, anything that you want to touch on?
Oh, I have so many good memories from UMary in general and the team. And I think most of it just stems from like the feeling of this is your family now. And so I think lots of it, at least what I think of maybe like the biggest like team bonding exercise we do is the Sunday long run. That's at least how the feeling I have of it. Obviously we have other like before Christmas and Halloween and during early cross-country season where we'll gather and have if it's food together or whatever it might be, where it's more of a traditional team bonding things, you could say. It's still something about showing up to that Sunday long run and early morning and just grinding it out on a dirt road that I think is special, where you share some moments you didn't think you would ever share with anyone else. And there's like one long run I particularly remember from the 2018 season where I don't know what it was, if it was just in a very heavy training period where everyone was very tired and the weather was terrible. It was so cold and I think it was hailing that day and it was just not a great day to be outside. And we finished a long run and people were, I'm not joking you, people were laying in the ditch crying because everyone was just so tired. And but that's still one of my favorite memories because it's like, this is what we're here for, you know? This is cross country. But again, yeah, I do think that it all like stems from those. Also, it's kind of random, like that happened. It wasn't a planned thing, you know? But that feeling of we're in this together and we're grinding it out together, those memories from tough workouts and long runs where it's like you really are reminded of this is a team and you're doing it together and we're improving together here. That I think that's like the general good big memory that I have.
Yeah, I love that. I'm getting like so many memories and emotions coming back just from about those Sunday long runs like you're talking about, the best. So I mentioned that you were set. It seemed like you had a really great lineup coming for you at the indoor national championship. And then, as everyone knows, it was canceled. So I'm interested to hear how you first heard about the early end to your season and how COVID-19 has been affecting your future plans since.
So the day we got the news, Thursday, the day before the races were supposed to start, and we had been on the track already and done the run for the day, which I thought was kind of absurd. Like we were there on the track. Everyone saw each other and met on the track. And then I think when we left the track, because obviously there were talk going around and we discussed that, like since there were teams that weren't there and same in Division One especially where there were big teams that didn't travel. And obviously that was a concern. But then we went to the track and we felt kind of safe because, you know, okay, we will be gathered now and it's happening tomorrow. You know, we should be safe now. But then when we came back to the hotel and our coach sent out a text saying that meet in the lobby in 5 minutes. And then it started coming down and I checked my phone and I scrolled through social media and then I saw it, that it was canceled. And then into the team meeting and coach explains what's going on and that also outdoor season is canceled. And I mean, that was just a pretty terrible moment, really. It was just really absurd and hard to take in, really, at that point. And I don't think I realized really what was going on and that it was actually canceled until we came back to Bismarck. Mm. And we were back there and you realize that that was the trip. That was Nationals. It was just the trip to Birmingham and back with nothing in between. And then...
built up adrenaline, too, that you've been...
Yes.
That you're psyched for it.
Yeah. And you're just in your own bubble in a sense, especially when you're on that national meet and you're trying just to put all the energy you have towards this one or two races or whatever you're gonna compete at. You're trying to just block everything else out and be ready for that. And then it's just a weird situation when that bubble is just popped and it bursts. Maybe this will never happen again. Maybe this was just something we experienced this year and it's never going to happen again. It's just a weird situation. Obviously, no one has experienced this before of any of us. How is really the question after how and what? And it's definitely just a difficult thing to take in. And then we came back and then you start thinking about, well, how do you move on from this? What are you going to do? Are your plans going to change? Are you going to keep doing the same thing this summer that you thought you were going to do? And for me, I ended up changing my plans completely, basically. I was going to graduate, and I still am, obviously, but with my bachelor's degree, and then I was going to start working. But now I started looking into, do I have any alternatives? Can I keep running? Because to me, it felt a little hopeless that was the end to it. Because it felt like I actually was back now. I'm actually improving. Now is the first time I'm actually able to do the training I want to do. And that I've always known that I was capable of doing. That I felt like I was finally able to return from the injury. And then it ends like this. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I realized that I have some options with going to grad school at UMary, and I can run next year. And I started thinking about this, and then I applied for grad school. I got accepted the next day, and I started a few weeks later. And so it was just a very quick turnaround. And I'm very glad I made that, because I do think that I talked to some other people that aren't at all involved in sports or running, but that said that, you know, there's things I've done in my life where I just wish I would have pursued the dream a little longer. You know, I wish I would have done that at that point. And I think this is one of those things where I think I would regret it if I didn't try to pursue it for a little longer. And so that's what I'm doing. And I mean, it's really only changing my plans for 1 year. So I'll be done in grad school now in 15 months. So it's not disrupting the rest of my life by doing this, you know. It's just a different plan for one more year. But all my years since high school have been a different year than what my plan told me to do. So I don't think that a change like that is necessarily a bad thing, for sure.
Yeah, it seems like a hard spot to be in as a fifth year. But then, as you said, you know, one door closes, another one opens, and you have indoor eligibility and outdoor eligibility.
The only thing I have for sure is outdoor. And then we have filed some medical paperwork because I have been sitting out for more than that. But then since that would be my sixth year, there's still more that goes into it. And then, so we have filed for it and we'll see. Best case scenario, I'll get an indoor season back, and worst case, it will only be an outdoor season. But either way, I'm happy to get some more running in college.
Awesome. Do you have any plans or hopes for where your running will take you after college?
I mean, I definitely want to keep running. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned earlier, I do think that I definitely will start focusing on the longer distances and probably the marathon. I was, before this COVID thing happened, I was planning on doing a marathon this summer. So I'll probably extend that to next summer. And so, yeah, it will be probably taking me to the roads and the marathon.
That's awesome. So, Ida, it's been really great talking to you. I've loved to hear how you made the transition from Norway to the U.S. and transferred and overcome your injury. You have a really great story. So what is a piece of advice that you would tell to a younger version of yourself? And what is a message that you want to leave for a future version of yourself?
You know, that is a very good question. And I think it is extremely hard to answer, because I do think that a part of what makes today different from yesterday or the day when you were in high school is that you went through that learning process. And so there are parts of me that was like, that would think that, you know, I wouldn't tell myself anything because the learning process is what made me the person I am today. Which, but I definitely think that I've learned a lot of things these past 5 years now that I've been in college. And some of it, I think, is that some things I know I didn't realize in high school that I now realize is that failure isn't always a bad thing, which I think goes back to why you know more now than you did back then, is that you failed. And then when you fail, you just got to pick up the pieces and make yourself learn from it. And not be ashamed of that perceived failure, which in reality is just a learning process. And so I think that that's a big part of it. And in that, maybe when you step wrong, that it also, if you can ask for help from someone else, do it. Also no shame in doing that. I know I've been a pretty stubborn person, at least when I was younger, and I wanted to do it my way and I wanted to do it by myself. That there's a time and place for that, but I also realized the value of the team. And something I learned at UMary for sure, that how strong the team is and how important it is to have a team around you or a family, and to utilize that. You have people around you and listen to them. You might feel like you know better yourself, but you really don't always. And there's a lot of value in listening to other people, not just with running and training, but in many aspects of life. And I think that's definitely one of the things that I've changed the most. And from in high school, when I probably thought I knew better and wanted to do it my way, and probably why I've had to struggle through so many injuries too, because I was too stubborn to realize that the rules also apply to me, that when it starts to hurt, it's a reason for it and I probably should stop, that it's not just going to go away, where it's probably been too many struggles like that and they're being too hard, harder than they maybe needed to be. But again, it goes back to a certain extent that probably had to go through that struggle to learn from it, to fully learn from it. Because I think someone can tell you that if you keep doing this, you're going to get injured. And you understand the words and you can understand the theory behind why this will give you an injury. But to me, at least, I have not comprehended really that until I've done it myself and I've stepped wrong myself. But then I think from that, you have to learn from it, because otherwise you're just going to go in a circle. But yeah, I'm not sure if that answered the question, but something in those lines.
No, that totally answered the question and is also going to make me rethink the whole framing of that. So then in looking towards your future self, it's still going to be that continuous learning process. But
yes.
Of any words that you'd want to say just in terms of how to keep yourself set in that learning process?
I do think, though, that something I really want to keep reminding myself of and understand is that something that's, I think, the reason, maybe the main reason that I did well this past year. I don't think it was, well, obviously it was a product of good training, but I think the good training, I was able to do that because I was in balance and I was happy. And I think as you move on and you want to keep excelling and it's running your career, whatever it is, that I think that that becomes very difficult if you're not happy with yourself. Which this past year now where, you know, I got married in college, and that part I think really helped me just by being happier. And something that I do, I'm going to keep reminding myself that I got to keep doing the things that makes me happy. Because if it's not making you happy, why are you doing it? If that is keep running the 100-mile weeks, or if it is going down and running less, there's no need to keep running 100-mile weeks if that's not at all going to help me stay happy. Which as of now, I'm running that much because I love it. And I think that facilitates my happiness. And with anything I do in life, it's obviously going to be lots of struggles and tough times. But I think the overall picture have to be you're working towards something that's a greater good or happiness. And I think that's something that if I can pop in and remind myself of that the rest of my life, then I think it'll be okay.
Great. Well, thank you again so much. Like, I'm feeling so lucky to get to do this podcast because I keep discovering the coolest people, and it's so fun to talk to everyone. Do you have any final shout outs or final words or pieces of your story that you felt like you were missing that you want to say before we end the interview?
Well, if there was anything else I would say, the only thing I would have to do is to thank all the people. If there's something else I would have to highlight, I guess it is again that journey from coming to the U.S. and succeeding, going through an injury and then kind of succeeding again. It's been, obviously, you have to do the work yourself, but you're not doing it alone. That I think what it cannot be left out is that it's always been lots of people with me that I just can't thank enough, with my parents and my teammates and my coach and my husband, and that goes, I think, for probably absolutely everyone, that it takes a village. Coach New always says that, reminds us that it takes a village, and it really, really does.